hear snoring in the background?
I hear something like...
Yeah, that's Ninja.
Yeah.
You hear?
There it is.
He's sleeping.
It's kind of like a little bullfrog.
He is. He's like a little bullfrog. It's like when I first got him, it was really hard to get used to that because I used to not be able to sleep with like the littlest of sounds going on. And now it's hard to sleep without him around.
Yeah, I noticed I've mentioned that before. That weekend I took care of him.
Yeah.
And I would wake up when he would stop snoring because I thought something was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a little buddy.
Of course, then he was like sleeping like right up next to me because I didn't have any bed prohibitions. Actually, I think I was sleeping on the couch then anyway.
He gets really comfortable, and sometimes he just stops snoring, and you're like, why? What is it that makes you snore and not snore?
Because I snore if I sleep on my back.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do.
It's been ever since I put back on all that weight and never quite lost it. I think it's something in the weight.
Yeah, weight is a big determining factor of snoring.
I don't know if having the extra weight and laying back puts pressure on my throat and sinuses or something, but I don't know. If I turn my head while I'm laying on my back and manage to keep my head turned to the side, then I can sleep on my back.
Yeah. Hmm.
But I, are we recording? You said you wanted to talk about something.
Oh, you're not recording?
I mean, I am recording, but are we recording, in quotes, is what I'm saying.
No, I'll tell you after.
Okay. Welcome to week 668 of the Crankcast. I'm Crank, and that's Mike.
Hello. Okay.
And Mike is at home today. So
it's
just the two of us.
Awaken my Jennifer tribe, just the two of us.
Oh, yeah.
So, you and I.
Yeah. I did not record last week while you were in San Diego.
Oh, really?
It wasn't a great week.
Oh. I'm used to those.
Weirdly, though. And one of those odd bits of coincidence, as it were. I had to go get blood drawn last week in preparation for my next doctor visit, which was yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I've explained it all. I mistested the first time and all that jazz. So I got the results back last week, and my triglycerides were down, but they're still high.
Yeah.
But my triglycerides were at 667, which is the same number as last week's episode would have been.
Do you think that they knew?
I think maybe. I don't know. But that's still like crazy high. But I did talk to the doctor yesterday and I asked her if I was like, well, you know, can we just try? I'm already making progress. My good cholesterol is up, although it's still low. And, my triglycerides came down, et cetera, et cetera. And I've lost a couple of pounds since my last visit, since I've started my diet. It's not even really a diet. I'm just actually watching what I eat now, you know, and how much I eat. But so I said, can we just try to control this like through lifestyle and diet choices as opposed to, going straight to medicine? She's like, oh, you can try it. Like, she gave me that, I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah, well, they're a doctor that knows more than you.
Well, I know. And no, I mean, literally she does know more than me, especially about medicine and stuff. She might not know more than me about, I don't know, computers or something, but maybe she does. I don't know. Maybe she does computer stuff on the side.
Maybe
she knows what to call it besides computer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's not her knowledge I'm questioning at all. It's just her application of it. you can know an awful lot and still not apply it in a way that works everywhere, instance.
Then why are you going to her?
Well, because all things being equal, how the hell do I know one doctor from another anyway? So I have to just approach it as... Hey, you know more than I. It's like going to a mechanic or something,
Yeah, but you're going to do what you want to do anyway, apparently.
Well, at least I am making an informed choice about it.
Mm-hmm.
If I was just going to do what I wanted to do without going to a doctor, I'd just be doing it ignorantly, wouldn't I? So there. Take that.
Anyway.
Well, no, I mean, if I had to take medicine, I wound up taking medicine, but I'd like to try to, correct these things. Because, I've even cut back drinking already. Which is crazy for me, considering how long I've been drinking at a steady pace. Like, And how they define, man, they define alcohol, like alcohol abuse and binge drinking and stuff in very small ways. You don't have to do very much to be a binge drinker.
Yeah.
I'm betting you would qualify as a binge drinker.
Oh, yeah, I know. I do.
And but it's like, dude, I'm in my 40s. I know I couldn't keep drinking like I did 15 years ago for the rest of my life, like, I mean, I've pretty much steadily been a nightly drinker for 15 years now, since my bad year in 02, 03. With the occasional taking a break for, a week or a couple months or something, like. So, I'm not ignorant. I'm aware that I can't keep doing this forever.
Oh, you ignorant. You the ignorant,
I'm ignorant, I think is what you mean to say.
yeah, that's what all did.
I just crank explained that to you.
Crank's playing.
But so yeah, it was a little disappointing last week when I got the blood test back, because I was like, I thought for sure with the fasting and I had not drinking for like not drinking, I had a drink for like 4 days before the blood test. I thought, all right, all my other numbers are pretty fucking normal, Surely it was just a mistake because of not properly preparing for the test, And I get in there, or I get my results back, and it's still disappointingly high. But it's a wake-up call. Gotta make some lifestyle changes, man. Although my doctor did say, when I told her I was easing up on a drink, I was like, I haven't had a drink in 2 days, which I said proudly because for me that's a proud thing. She looked at me and said, "Oh, don't stop cold turkey." She's like, "You want to wean yourself off that?" I'm like, "How much do you think I drink? I've told you exactly how much I drink. Is it that
Yeah,
bad?"
you drink a lot. You told her you drink a lot.
I said I drink to like 6 to 8 beers a night,
Yes, that's a lot, especially to them.
And she's
You
like,
just told me.
she's acting like I'm gonna go see pink elephants or something if I stop drinking,
You are refusing to make sense even with your own logic.
I come from a fucking long line of people that drink normally nightly. Like, it's not,
Yeah.
this is not unusual to me or my
Okay.
lineage,
All right.
I mean,
Tell me more stuff that should make sense to you and nobody else.
it's like, smoking kills unless you're George Burns and then you can smoke until you die.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Like at a very old age.
This is all stuff we'll put on your tombstone.
Just because it's bad for everybody else doesn't mean it's as bad for me.
Yeah, made sense to me.
Yep. That's my point entirely. So I don't, I mean, like I said, though, culturally I'm coming from a thing where, my grandpa was a day drinker, shit like that. Like, so to me, like, what I drink's actually not all that much.
Here's the thing, none of that matters. Anything you are telling me makes a damn bit of difference. Only what the doctor says matters. Oh, I don't think this should happen because this is the way my family was raised, and this is how we've done things for generations. It's like, nobody fucking cares. That's not what's gonna kill you. You listen to the doctor, dummy.
Doctors don't know either, man. They make best guesses.
Don't go. Stop crying and whining about how you're afraid to go to the doctor if you're not gonna fucking listen to
I am listening. I'm just taking their information and adding it to, my thought process. I'm not taking them at their word. That would be silly. Because, I mean, if you look at most procedures, doctors pretty much fumble their way through a lot of diagnoses, dude.
Hey, this is. I'm not going to talk anymore about your doctor.
All right, Dr. Hawk.
It's like it's just you talking about what the doctor said, and then 1,000 reasons why the doctor's probably not doesn't really matter what they say.
I mean, to be frank, ultimately it doesn't. What I'd have decided to do is what matters, but the doctor's information is important. It's giving me an informed opinion on something,
Yes, at least you'll know that you were wrong when you did all the things that you did.
Or whatever. I don't, man, it's like even while I was talking to her and she was talking about my triglycerides and I think my pancreas, she was talking about I could be at risk of pancreatitis, I think.
My pancreas.
And she was looking at numbers and she was like, "I don't know, maybe you have something down there that protects you with the elementary drink." And I'm like, "Okay, That's not a thing I expect a doctor to say.
Yeah, she shouldn't have given you that out, that's for sure.
But what I'm saying is that doctors tend to, it's like any diagnosis. It's like when I troubleshoot machines, you know, you kind of look for a best possibility and then go with that. And if that doesn't work, you look for something
Look
else.
for
And,
something else.
but it's all kind of just reduction and guesswork until you figure it out exactly, you know?
Until you hear what you want to hear is what it
Well, isn't that the way with most people? I mean,
is.
considering how much, you know, alcohol converts to sugar, you know, should you really be drinking as much as you do?
That is from extensive studying. It is.
Yeah, but, you know, ask your doctor, and what would your doctor say?
I've done research on it.
And what would your doctor say?
The doctor said, as long as my numbers are good.
So as long as it works out, it doesn't matter. You're gonna do what you're gonna do.
But you see, you're doing gymnastics to try and make that work for you right there.
No, we all
Yeah,
do, is
you
my
are.
point. We all do. It's not.
No, I no, this is not working for you. This is not going towards your point. I'm doing what my doctor said.
You were taking an out your doctor gave you.
No,
Your doctor did not say
my doctor
it
said
was okay for you to drink. He just said, "Well, as long as your numbers are good." That's not telling you it's okay to drink, dude. You are every bit as much of it as I am.
no,
So.
that's not true. For one thing, I take my medication.
Well, I don't have any medication. I talked her out of a prescription.
Yeah, you talked her out of
If
it.
she felt strongly about it, she would have insisted. So therefore, I've got some wiggle room. Anyway, I go back in December, so I got like 6 months to lose weight and improve my numbers.
Improve them numbers, bitch.
Which, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm just getting started. As long as I keep up with the watching, like, it's not even just like how many calories I'm taking in. I've actually been watching what I eat and like the fat content and crap like that, you know. Which, okay, so
Garbage.
you had to like radically change your diet after your diagnosis of the diabetes, right? So when do you stop being hungry all the time? Does that like get normalized, or do you just ignore it after a while, or like?
Well, no. I mean, I didn't really. I just replaced the stuff that I was eating with other stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just ate a lot of nuts and stuff like that. And if I was hungry, I still ate.
'Cause I pretty much like, you know, I'm using portion control as part of it, so I pretty much like cut my portions in half. Although
Yeah, dieting doesn't work for me. I don't like. I
just
just tried to eat the stuff I was supposed to eat in the first place. I was just eating nothing but pizza and candy and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I was starting from a stronger position than you anyway. I mean, you know, there's some things in my going in my favor for the new diet, in that, like, since I moved into this house for whatever reason, I don't eat fast food very much, you
Yeah, fast food
know?
is a no-no.
And I quit drinking like sugary sodas back in my 20s, so.
No soda. You shouldn't be drinking sugary soda anyway.
No, I'm saying I quit back in my 20s, you know? So, like. Like, even though but the soda, I mean, the soda's still a problem because it's a lot of salt, you know? So.
Yeah.
I've had to cut that back too, somewhat. Just start drinking more water. But what else? Like I've been, and what fat I do take in, I've been paying more attention to what kind of fat it is. Like walnut fat's like better than, you know, lard, for instance, or even just like a, you know, fatty piece of beef or something, you know. But
You're a fatty piece of meat.
yep, that's why I gotta lose weight, man. I gotta lose about 30 pounds. Maybe 35 to get in my BMI area. Yeah.
BMI.
The something music industry. They're the sister corporation to ASCAP. But yeah, I don't, you know, so it's this is all new, and I'm hoping I don't turn into one of those people, like, you know, those people that quit smoking and then all they ever talk about is how everybody should quit smoking. And how much better things are since they quit smoking. And like they talk, or like the people that, you know, find God at a late age, and all they ever talk about is God after that point, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure we all hope that too.
I hope I don't turn into that, because that's just,
Well, I do too, because I won't be talking to you.
Thanks. Do you know how fatty your lunch is right now?
I haven't eaten no lunch.
I haven't either.
10 o'clock here.
And you're ready to rock? But then, okay, yeah, so last week I got the blood test and the disappointing numbers, and then I found out that my godmother died suddenly and I had to go to a funeral on Friday.
Were you close with your godmother?
We hadn't spoken in a couple of years. She had gotten real bad at keeping up with people, and I was never great at keeping up with people. But she had had problems after her husband died about 10 years ago. Like, she had had a stroke, and it was one of those things that kind of partly affected her brain, you know? And like, her daughter said that when she checked her phone after she died, like, there was just the inbox was full, and she had like all these unread text messages and didn't even keep phone numbers in her phone, kind of thing, you know? So, but you know, still, I mean, I've known her since I was born, you know? It was weird though, but because of the fact that I hadn't seen her in a while, it was, because even now, I'm still kind of only half processed it. It doesn't really, she doesn't really seem like she's dead, you know, to me. And it wasn't his, because when her husband died, my godfather, that was back when I was still living in Chicago. I mean, that shit hit me right away, and I hadn't seen him in a few years either, you know, at that point. And I don't know, like, I mean, I was always closer to him than her, because he was a musician. And in fact, on that first Son of Morty album, one of the songs, the acoustic guitar on it was an old practice recording of his that I took, and then we made a song out of. But like, so you know, there were points where we were just closer, me and my godfather. But it just seems weird to me that I'm still like, hasn't quite sunk in, I guess.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, thank you. But that just got, hey, last week wasn't a great week, is what I'm saying. You know, plus I was super busy on top of it, and so that's why I didn't record. That and most everybody was out of town.
Yeah, we were all out of town.
In one form or another, I didn't. Oh shoot, I didn't even celebrate Chris Makepeace Day week.
Oh no.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I could move it to this week. It is a movable feast, after all. But yeah. So, how's San Diego?
It was interesting.
Your
It's
and Julie's pictures look fun.
yeah, she made me go out and do stuff, which was very nice. I've never been to a San Diego where I was outside of the convention center more than I was in.
Right on.
So that was a new and interesting and honestly preferable experience.
Oh, I can imagine, yeah.
So yeah, that's, I mean, I was there for Comixology. They announced Grave Danger, and so I was there for a lot of Comixology signings and panels, even panels that I probably shouldn't have been on, like editing.
I think I could probably do an editing panel at this point. Yeah, I saw after Comixology announced that, I went ahead and looked at it on Amazon, and I realized that I was actually listed as a credit on there. Which, of course, you know, their credits on Amazon are linked, so I clicked my name, and I've got other credits on Amazon.
Don't know why you're surprised by that.
I mean, in retrospect, I guess it's not that surprising, but I just never ex really expected it, I guess. You know, being that far down the chain, usually like colorists are lucky if they get listed for shit, you know. Hell, on Amazon, sometimes for a long time, artists didn't get listed for shit. It was always just a writer, you know.
Oh, I still don't.
So,
on a lot of stuff.
the weird thing is that a lot of the stuff I was credited for was Xenoscope stuff that I did like, you know, 9 years ago.
Well, it depends on who the per I mean, who's actually entering the information. Xenoscope probably, believe it or not, probably put all the credits in there.
Point. So, point in their favor. They need it. But yeah, that's that was a nice surprise when I clicked on my name and saw more stuff.
What would you like to know about the show?
What else did Comixology announce?
Well, we're part of these Comixology originals, which is a bunch of different new comics that they're doing.
Yeah.
So they announced a bunch of those and a bunch of new ones that are gonna come, that haven't started but will. And we had a bunch of signings, and there's always a line, which was nice, but it was, honestly, I'm not going to lie, it's because they were giving away free comics. And
oh, that helps, yeah.
People stand in line for free stuff at San Diego. That's just the rule.
Well, I guess, considering how packed San Diego is, you're going to be standing in line whether you want to or not, so you might as well stand in line and get something for free, I guess.
So.
Well, that's all right then.
We went to Ocean Beach. I went to a bunch of breweries.
Saw that. Yeah. You kept getting those, what do you call those? Not craft packs, but, The spreads of different kinds of beers.
Yes, the flights.
Flights, there you go.
Couldn't we went to Modern Times Brewery, which was next to a dispensary.
Did you go to the dispensary?
Yeah, we did.
Did you actually partake?
I did.
Oh, how was that?
For the first time in my life, I felt it.
You've never been high before?
Yeah.
Wow.
I did not like it.
Okay.
It was a completely paranoid experience.
The first time I ever got actually high, I was super paranoid too.
Because it felt like the end of every four-star Christmas party where I'm about to pass out, and so I'm losing time. Like, I'm talking to somebody, and then it seems like it's just a split second later, and then I'm on the other side of the room talking to somebody else.
Oh, right.
Like, I lost time. That's what it felt like, except there was no lost time. It just felt like that. And so I was just always paranoid that somebody was going to notice that I'm acting really weird.
But, I mean, would it matter? You were doing it legally, right?
No, that's not what I wasn't worried that I was going to get in trouble or something. I was worried that people were thinking I'm acting like an idiot.
Oh, well, you're high. You're supposed to be acting like an idiot.
So.
Well, so I guess
I did not like it. So.
Something you don't really plan on trying again, I assume.
I don't. Maybe if I were here at home, because I mean, it is. I mean, my body did feel like, hey, I think we're asleep and your brain's still working. So how's that for relax?
And there are different blends that hit people different ways too, So
it was interesting. That how about that? It was interesting.
All right.
I don't get the people that love it like as a lifestyle and live it every day because I don't know how you function.
Again, different people, it seems to radically affect different ways. I've known some people that started getting high regularly and turned into idiots, like on a general basis. And I've known other people that get high.
Yeah.
They pretty much wake and bake all day,
Yeah. That's the part that I don't understand.
And they're fine.
I could totally see how you could turn into a moron because I felt like a moron.
Yeah.
And the thing was, I knew what was going on. It wasn't. It was way different than being drunk because when I'm drunk, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Next step, LSD.
Yeah. So, but the Modern Times beer was good as well.
Oh, that's good.
I think my favorite was Stone. The famous California brewery. I went to
their Stone IPA.
Yeah, they're pretty, well known, and I would figure that they would be the dullest of them all. But they had some pretty good beers. They're on top for a reason, I guess.
Do they do more than IPAs?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I had a really tasty brown ale there, and a really tasty brown ale is kind of not something you hear a lot. So, I'm drawing Hellboy in a sombrero and a Surrap.
Oh, that got announced too.
Yeah, finally. I'm like got 10 pages left of the whole book to do, and they finally announced it, which is good. It'd be better. It'd be worse if they announced it, and I'm like, I haven't started this yet.
Yeah, no pressure. You only got 10 pages. You're good. Is that how you say that, Serap?
I don't know. I probably said it wrong.
No, I don't know either. I always, in my head, it's one of those words I don't remember hearing pronounced, so I always just thought it was like Serapi or something, you know? Or Serape. Serapi.
It could be Serape. I don't know.
But,
it's Serap.
I mean, Serap makes sense. I mean, I guess. You know, as much as anything.
He's in Mexico during all of this series I'm in.
Is he looking for a chupacabra? Because that's all anybody ever goes to Mexico for.
He is not. He's not looking for a chupacabra.
Okay. So,
Hellboy really likes Mexico.
Does he?
Yep. Right. It's well documented. He even had many. He had a whole trade called Hellboy in Mexico.
Oh, well, yeah. I guess that pretty much proves it then, huh? Let's see. So, yeah, San Diego. Any other highlights?
Highlights. I saw Casper Van Dien, but did nothing about it.
I watched a Casper Van Dien movie last week.
See, I feel like I should have one of two things. Went up there and said, thank you for these movies that I have watched, because many of them, or just, you know, Time Machine Hitler style, just got rid of them because he can't keep making these things. They're awful.
Have you seen Skeleton Man?
Is he in that? Because it is in my queue, and I thought about watching it yesterday.
I say it's a Casper Van Dien movie, but he's dead before, you know, halfway through. Spoiler, sorry.
Okay, well.
But he's in it. He's in it, yeah. So.
No, yesterday I watched She-Ra the Vampire Samurai.
Okay, when was that from?
What?
When's that from?
2013.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't look like it. And Exile.
What's that?
A Mike Conway film. I only say that because it says it right there in the. And that is from 2009.
I'm rapidly losing my patience for modern low-budget movies.
I am starting. I honestly think it's Stockholm Syndrome now, but I'm starting to really hope that when these things start, that I just see the video camera grain. I really want it to be not something that people got paid for, you know? I like look at it, I'm like, oh, because when I saw Phobe the other day, did you watch that?
I watched those clips you posted.
Jeez. Oh my God.
I wouldn't have made it.
Hope for.
Okay, see, that's exactly the type of movie that when I see that within the first, like, 5 minutes, I just, nope.
No, yeah. Oh, man, I will stick through it because I cannot believe that people are, because we all had video cameras in the 80s.
I didn't, but yeah, go ahead.
I had a video VHS camera when I was in the 80s, and I would stand out on the front lawn and videotape my little brother and his friend ninja fight. They would like tie t-shirts around their heads and fight each other, and I would just film it forever. And sometimes I would like do voiceover as they were doing it and stuff like that. And that's what these are, except they're fucking my age now, and they're making these movies,
right?
And they're fucking on Amazon.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, that on the one hand, that's really cool, like. But
it's cool that they made something.
And there's a platform to, you know, let other people see this thing you made, you know?
But if they don't know how silly this is, then that's not cool. this Phobe is interesting because it was made in 1994. And it's Canadian, so 1994 in Canada means everybody had a mullet.
Or the that crazy poodle front hair if you're a girl.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, it's still a mullet. Because it's shorter in the front than it is in the back. And she made it for $250.
Huh.
In the back, in the end credits, there are extensive credits for, like, thank yous to these different locations and places that... There's even one, like, a thank you to this pizza place that gave them free pizza and stuff.
Huh. See, that's more of a, well, that's a nice story, but I still wouldn't want to watch the movie.
Oh man, I am down with it. So yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I don't know what it is. Like, okay, I do know because they're it's not necessarily a new versus old thing for me.
Yeah.
In that, like, I'm thinking like last night I tried to watch this movie called like Son of Satan or something like that. It was made back in 1980 or something. It's one of those class reunion, everybody starts dying kind of movies. But
Yeah.
like the first 5 minutes of this movie is an uninterrupted shot of just this little river going through a canyon. And it just
Yeah.
sits there, just doing that, like
Well, yeah, that's them filling up time, right? They don't.
until finally, like a fist comes out of the water, that I knew from right there. I'm like, okay, I'm probably not gonna make it through this movie, And then I was right because I started watching it. I'm like, yeah, I can't take what's going on in this. Bad. It's just bad, bad. So I stopped watching it. You know what I'm saying? But then I went through like three different movies I tried to watch that were newer. Like within the past decade, I think. And as soon as I, in the first 5 minutes, as soon as I just saw the acting and the filming, I was like, "This no, uh-uh." Because it all looked like stuff like, Phobe or whatever, where it's just people walking around with a camera, like they don't know, they're not framing shots, people aren't really acting very well, But then I've watched other newer stuff that's super low budget and filmed on low, like low-end gear that I've enjoyed recently. So I think there's just a certain professionalism lacking that I'll cut it or something. It's not even professionalism. It's like if you can't even frame a shot, it's like you don't care about it. And if you don't care about it, why should I care about it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. It's like I don't know because I can't. And on the whole, I guess because of the technology being cheap enough that it's in the barrier to entry being so low now. Because of that, and the fact that like you can just post something on Amazon now, I still have an opinion that most there are more watchable low budget movies back in the film days than there are now. Mostly because it's a quantity thing too. I mean, there's more low budget things out now, And again, because like the barrier to entry is so damn low, it's like you don't really have to worry about being any good at it or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know, it's just, yeah. Strange, though. What I there's something else I watched I was going to tell you about because I thought you'd find it funny. Hold on, I'm going to bring up my Amazon dealio thingy. Oh, Blood Widow. That was one I started watching. I couldn't get 5 minutes into it.
Blood Widow.
Yeah. Yeah, here's three in a row that I tried to watch. And I just couldn't. And it was Blood Widow, Pleasures of the Damned.
Oh, Pleasures of the Damned.
It's supposed to be about this biker gang that mistakenly brings back a zombie horde or something.
Blood Widow, that's awesome. Okay, Pleasures of the Damned.
Yeah, these might be things you'll be able to make it through, And then oh, that older movie that I
That
tried.
doesn't look like something I want to watch.
Pleasures of the Damned?
Yeah.
Yeah, just.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah,
All
that's what I'm saying. Watch. Like, actually, watch some of the film for a second.
I have to watch this. All right.
Because it's not really. Like, it's made like. It's one of those.
It's made in 2005. Oh, it's an homage to 1970s Italian exploitation.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
It complete with bad dubbing. Like, they're using that as an excuse for why their dubbing is bad. All right.
Yeah, that's even worse when they try to say, "Well, we're not really this bad. We're just emulating the flaws of these older things."
Yeah. All right.
And then that movie, the older movie
Because
that
there's gonna be a rape scene in it though, and I don't like that.
I don't it didn't seem like it was that like for it to have a rape scene.
Yeah.
I it didn't seem like it was that from when I was watching it because it seemed more goofy than hardcore horror.
Okay.
But and then that older movie I was talking about that opened with just that uninterrupted shot of a river and a canyon. For like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That was called The Redeemer, Son of Satan.
The Redeemer. Son of Satan.
Yeah, and that's the one I couldn't get through either because it was just. Ugh. You know what I'm saying?
If you have a craving for terror, come to the class reunion. That's a terrible catchphrase.
Well, it was pretty, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it got better. Because, like I said, I didn't watch it.
78, huh?
Yeah. But that's on a level of modern bad, I think.
Okay.
Okay, you know how, like, things happen, and in the same year, you'll have, like, two movies that come out that are practically the same kind of concept?
Or whatever? Mm-hmm.
So I watched these two movies just because I was so fucking curious. One had Corin Nemec?
Yeah.
Parker Lewis. Yeah. And it was called Mosquito Man, which I think, wasn't that the movie that came out called Mansquito?
Wasn't Mansquito. There was a Mosquito Man. There was Mansquito, yes.
Wasn't Mansquito the movie with Corin Nemec that we made fun of it a long time ago?
I don't remember who was in Mansquito.
I don't either. I just remember going, Mansquito! You know?
Yeah.
But, and I guess they could have changed the name to Mosquito Man. I don't know. But anyway, so I watched Mosquito Man, all about a convict that gets infected with radioactive mosquitoes and becomes a giant mosquito, man.
Man.
And that actually wasn't horrible. It was horrible in the way that sci-fi movies are, where it's slightly boring. But it wasn't, like, terrible, you know? And then I watched this other movie that came out the same year, which had a similar cover and even had the same tagline. Because the tagline of Mosquito Man is a new breed of predator, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was another movie. Do you remember an actor named Vincent Vitresca? He was, there was in the late 90s, there was a sci-fi television show called The Invisible Man. And he was the Invisible Man in that.
I don't remember.
Okay. He was in some other stuff, like early 2000s, mid-2000s, and I haven't really seen anything of him in a long time. But, so this movie was called Larva, and it also had the subtitle, A New Breed of Predator. And this one was mutated blood flukes that grew giant. And they grew giant and crawled around and ate people.
Sounds yummy.
But, like, if you look at the two movies, like, the covers are really similar. They have the same taglines.
Interesting.
It was weird. So they were both made in the same year, but they're different directors and different. As far as I know, they're different like production companies. So I don't know. It was just one of those weird things, you know. But I watched both of those, and neither one of them was like horrible, horrible. They were just sort of average, entertaining in spots. Oh, and I did watch a low budget newer movie called You Can't Kill Stephen King. That was all right.
You Can't Kill Stephen King?
Yeah. It's this group of early 20-somethings go out to the lake where Stephen King's supposed to live. And because one of them has a grandma that left them property on the lake. And so they go out there, spend the weekend, and maybe try to catch a glimpse of Stephen King. And then it turns into a slasher movie.
Totally watching that. That's awesome.
And it actually, I mean, it wasn't bad. I mean, it's goofy. It's low budget. It's got some questionable stuff in it. Like
Zombievers?
Oh, Zombievers. I remember that one. I haven't seen that in a long time, but I remember that one. But yeah. See, but then there's things that are newer that are really slick looking and pretty well done that are just boring. Like, have you seen Rings? The newest in the Ring?
No, I'm not going to watch any more Rings.
I had watched the Japanese one back in the mid-2000s, and I haven't seen any of them since, really. So, but I decided to watch this one because it had, just had some familiar actors in it, you know, like Amy Teagarden was in it and stuff like that. Mm. And Vincent D'Onofrio was in it. So I just decided to watch it because it's free on Amazon. What the hell, right? You know, I wanted to see a modern movie instead of watching a bunch of old shit like I had been watching before that. And it's fine. It's well shot. It's the acting's all fine. Everything's fine. And it's just boring, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's boring and so typical. Like, you pretty much anticipate the plot beats as they come around, you know.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It's okay to know what's going to happen next, or, you know, have a good idea of what's going to happen next if you're having fun watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's like, yeah, when it's already boring and you can already predict what's going to happen next, and then you're just sort of like, eh. So that was a thing. Mm. There was a movie. I forgot I had even seen this movie until I rewatched it. And it's one of those found footage movies, which I keep telling myself I'm never going to watch another found footage movie because I'm tired of them. And they're mostly not good. But every once in a while, there's one that I'm like, it gets so freaking weird, you're just like, what the fuck? You know, and it kind of redeems itself.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a movie called Evidence from, I think it was 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2012. And it starts out so just typically found footage type movie that, like I said, I had forgotten I'd watched it already, or I'd seen it, until it gets to this part about, 20 minutes into the, or from the end, maybe a half hour from the end. It takes like a dramatic turn and gets just fucking nutball. And it's, I'm not gonna say it's worth it for that last 20 minutes, but it almost is, because it's not a long movie. It's only 1 hour and 18 minutes long, so.
What's it about?
It's a found footage movie, kids out camping in the woods, bad shit starts happening. And, of course, this film is found later or whatever, or presented later.
Okay.
Although, given the weird shit that happens at the end, I'm not sure how it was presented later. But, it's.
I've seen a lot of, trying to put a spin on that found footage thing before, and it's rough.
The problem I think is with it is that much like zombie movies, it's easy to make it on the cheap.
Yeah, I mean that's why they do it, but the thing is there's a reason why the found footage thing was a success, and that's because they did it in a way that made you believe that it was real, and when you are doing it cheap, you can't do that.
Right, or
Or you're just not talented.
see, I think. Well, for me, the only time I ever thought it worked because you believed it was real was probably like Blair Witch, and that's because nobody knew at the time, But I mean, there are other good found footage movies. The first Wreck, the Spanish one, not the American one. The American one was fine, but the Spanish one's the one I'm talking about.
I think the second one's good too.
Right. Yeah. Okay. The Wrecks are good. I'm trying to think of like there are a couple others that are like actually good movies, Well, Cloverfield was good, It's jumpy and a little hard to follow, but it's like it tells you the story and it tells it in a way that's believably why it's a found footage movie, kind of thing. Because that's a part of the problem is I've watched a few of these found footage movies lately, and it's always hard to believe. Because another one was called Evil Things that I watched because I decided to watch a couple of found footage movies for some reason, even though I keep telling myself I'm never gonna do it again. But Evil Things is another found footage movie. But the thing is even by the end when they explain why you're able to see the footage when you shouldn't have been able to see the footage.
That was the thing that always got me about Blair Witch in the first place.
Well, supposedly in Blair Witch they found the tapes.
Yeah, and then just decided to sell it.
Well,
Like we found this grisly murder of three teenagers, and we just thought we'd sell it in movie
is
theaters.
that surprising given,
Yes,
YouTube
it is,
today?
people. That doesn't happen.
Oh, it might.
No.
We're not far from that, dude.
We're not far from it now.
I mean, come on. But yeah, okay, I'm even with Blair Witch, there was like a suspension of disbelief there, but still though, I mean, at least it logically followed how you were able to see the tapes, Like I've watched some found footage movies that are like, well, for one thing, why is this camera at this position?
Yeah, right. That's the thing that it's a thing that's easy to forget, and why obviously fake quote unquote reality TV works is because people don't even question basic things like why is there a camera in this person's house before the person knocks on the door anyway? Like, what the fuck? Did you not question that? It's like, why is it a surprise that somebody knocked on the door when there's a fucking camera crew in your house?
And why is this? And especially the ones that are just like, one dude in the party happens to have a camera. Like, why is it running now?
He just never, ever puts it down.
Right. Like, I mean, I've been that guy with a video camera in a group party situation, and most of the time, if you don't put it down, people hit you.
Yeah. Would you stop it with the fucking camera?
Right, they refuse to give you beers and they hit you and stuff like that, Like, I mean, or they drive you out of the group or something, You don't always have a goddamn camera in your hand. Although you might, that would be more likely now with the cell phones, I think, though.
Well, I think that's the new excuse, right? I think that's how they
Yeah.
do that.
Which doubles the problem of a horror movie thing of, now that everybody has cell phones, how come everybody can't call for help anymore? Like,
Yeah.
where, like they always have to make a reason why your cell phone's not working in a horror
Yeah.
movie. I can't get any signal.
I've heard writers always they blame cell phones for ruining horror movies.
I blame writers for ruining horror movies, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's like, sorry.
If you can't work your way around a little problem like
Oh,
that,
fuck.
I mean, even if you have to just basic fumble it and say, "Oh, well, we're out of reception," like, I mean, if you can't work your way around that, then you're not a very good writer.
Yeah.
But I guess with cell phones being so much around and everybody being so used to filming themselves and their friends, that probably, yeah, I mean, we're gonna see a lot more of cell phone footage movies, like, and they won't even be found footage because all that's just gonna get uploaded to the web, So they're just gonna be live broadcast massacre movies, I guess. Or just after the broadcast massacre movies.
Bird.
Huh. So there's a thing.
What else were? Oh, we were talking about San Diego.
Oh, yeah, we were. I thought we were done. Sorry.
It doesn't matter.
No, I mean, we can keep talking
I
about
mean, I didn't really do anything, so it's not like.
Oh.
Usually you get mad at me, though, for not talking about stuff.
I'm used to it, I guess. I should demand that you keep a travel log or something so that we can review it when you get home. But
Well, that's what the pictures are.
So, go look at Mike and Julie's Instagram feed, then you'll get a good idea of what went on. Oh, I do have more movies to tell you about, though.
Okay.
Have you seen The Warrior and the Sorceress with David Carradine?
It is in my queue.
David Carradine as a barbarian, like a
Yeah.
barbarian war guy.
Yeah. I'm ready for it.
It's something.
I'm ready for it.
It's definitely something. It's a it was a warrior and sorceress movie. I had a surprise in that I've never seen Ghoulies 4 before, but it turned out to actually be a good movie. Well,
No, it's not a good movie.
not a
There's no ghoulies in it. They
there's
do ghoulies, and they're basically never in the movie.
What's weirder is there's two ghoulies and they're good guys.
Yeah, the ghoulies are the good guys in that movie.
I mean, when I say good, I mean it's not
They're
horrible.
two, but they're the exact same characters as those two robots in those Transformers movies too. The little tiny robots and the
Oh,
Transformers.
yeah, where they have the one that's supposed to be like some sort of ghetto dude, and the other one's like
Yeah.
just a doof. Like,
Yes. Oh, and that Shira Samurai Vampire movie, there's this one black guy, and I'm like, this movie was made in 2013. What the fuck? Because the guy basically just says, believe that. Oh, that's like his only word. He's just a walking catchphrase.
okay.
He just says, believe that.
Okay, in that one movie I told you that I thought was all right, that low budget movie, the fact, which one was it?
Least four was all right, so now I
Oh,
know.
the You Can't Kill Stephen King movie.
Yeah.
Okay, like that one, in line with what we were just talking about, it has a token black character in it, but they
Yeah.
set him up as being a token black character and then they kill him off like first thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sitting there going like, is that really like I mean, I know you're trying to be funny, but is that really funny? Like,
Yeah.
but no, I thought Ghoulies. I guess I should say Ghoulies surpassed my expectations of it going in.
So it Ghoulies is better than a movie that you thought Ghoulies 4 would be.
Yes, I thought it was interesting that they brought back the character from the first movie, but he's a good guy now, when he was like a bad guy in the first movie.
Yeah, but now he's like a cop? Was he a cop in the first one?
No, he was a student of the black arts, like
Yeah,
kind
but
of.
now he's a cop?
Now he's an ex-sorcerer cop.
Yeah,
That's pretty
but like
cool,
his
dude.
personality is different, isn't it?
Well, I mean, his whole personality in the first movie was pretty much just kind of droning evil.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was mostly like deadpan and doing incantations and shit, like.
Was the evil girl in the first movie?
I don't remember her from the first movie. So I don't know. I think in the storyline, the Ghoulies universe, I think he meets her. Well, no, because he gets sucked into a portal or something at the end of the first movie, doesn't he?
I don't remember.
I'm trying to remember too. I don't know, man. I don't know if she was in it or not. In fact, I don't know if Ghoulies 4 actually works with Ghoulies 1. Maybe it does. I don't know. I can't remember. But I just thought that was, an ex-sorcerer cop. That's kind of cool.
It is, I guess.
And I kind of appreciated the fact that these ghoulies, as dumb as they were, weren't like the just the little mischievous evil imp ghoulies. They were like kind of good guys trying to stop the really bad guy, you know? So I don't know, you know, like I said, it just surpassed my expectations of what I would thought that movie would have been. I was pleasantly surprised. Because, yeah, you know. And then there was this really weird movie that I watched that I'm not sure. It's supposed to be a horror comedy, but it was made in 87, and it's called Funland, and it's got Squiggy, or was it Lenny? One of those two guys from Laverne and Shirley, the shorter one.
That's Squiggy.
Squiggy. It had Squiggy as this burger clown guy at a.
Oh, add it to my watch
At a
list.
park, and he goes, you know, he's like, well, he doesn't go, he's already
Marla
nutso.
Maples.
Huh?
Marla Maples is in it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Didn't she marry Trump?
I think, wasn't she? Yes, I think at one point, wasn't she?
Isn't one of those kids hers?
That I don't know. But it's definitely a weird ass movie, man. I don't know, like, because he's got this puppet he talks to.
Yeah, she's Tiffany's mom.
Okay. Tiffany, the singer?
Tiffany Trump,
Oh.
the kid you never hear about.
Oh, I didn't even know there was a Tiffany Trump.
Yeah.
See? But yeah, it's one I'd never seen before, and I mean, it's not a good movie, but it's a weird movie because it's part this weird mental horror kind of thing and part summer camp comedy.
Part shit.
And part crap. But there's
Crap.
this weird do you remember? I had forgotten all about this dude till I saw him in this movie. And you would see him pop up every now and then. There was this Bogart impersonator that was in a bunch of shit in the 80s.
I'm pretty sure I know who you're talking
Like he's in this movie, you know,
about. Oh boy.
impersonating Bogart, actually, the ghost of Bogart, I should say. Well,
This
not exactly the ghost of Bogart.
Sucks balls, isn't it?
He's the wax museum wax dummy of Bogart.
Oh, this is gonna suck. Suck the D hardcore.
It's not any worse than most of what you watch,
I
to be honest.
you know what? That just goes without saying. Let's not even bring that up anymore. There's no bringing up Mike watches terrible movies as a bar for anything.
Yeah, that's fair.
Especially insults people. When people on Twitter go, "Well, you've seen what you watched." Yeah, who cares?
That's
It
fair.
doesn't mean I don't have a brain that can judge whether something's good or bad.
I'm just saying, you know. Well, I don't know. I mean, if you, yeah, I don't know. I'm just using it as a point of comparison when you say horrible. Like, I mean, there's horrible that's even worse than what you normally watch. You know, like. Oh, hey, here's a third movie, but this one made in 2000, that also has the tagline "A new breed of predator." And this one is another man movie. It's called Shark Man.
Shark Man. I've seen Shark Man.
I think I have too. This one's got a what's his name in it? From Reanimator.
Does it have William Forsythe in it?
It says Bob Oshak, Carolyn Arnold, and Matt Lacey. So it's not listing. I thought it had what the heck's that? Yeah, what am I? Jeffrey Combs. I thought it had Jeffrey Combs in it as the mad scientist.
Yeah, it does. I think he plays the titular Shark Man.
I thought he was like the scientist that made the Shark Man or something.
Let's see. Shark Man.
So what is it? Why do all three of these movies? Maybe it's because FilmRise put them out and they redid the covers or something. But all three of them have the same tagline: "A new breed of predator."
Wow, they only lists five people in the cast on IMDb.
Everybody else disavowed it.
I'm pretty sure I saw William Forsythe in that movie. Also, they never call him Shark Man.
Shark
They
Man.
call By his name, Paul. His name is Paul.
Paul
So
Sharkman.
when I saw it, I thought this movie should just be called Paul exclamation point.
Paul.
Yeah. Paul! Because that's what they all say during the movie. They're like, Paul!
It's
They all
well,
go, it's Shark Man.
I mean, you know, his last name's Sharkman. So it's Paul Sharkman, and you know it's an unfortunate thing that, of course, having that name, he was bound to become a shark man. But
It wasn't bound to. In fact, it could have gone the other way. He could have gone all out of his way to to avoid any shark comparisons, but he didn't.
He embraced the shark.
He jumped right in, pun intended.
Shark man.
Well, it wasn't his fault, actually. I don't think he wanted to become a shark man. He was experimenting on it.
Does anybody really want to become a shark man?
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
Okay. Shark man! I wonder, I think somebody's delivering something at my house.
Huh. Don't answer the door. It's shark
man. Land shark.
Shark man.
Shark man.
Shark man.
Oh, I've got another one you might like.
Actually, what is that?
It's called The Corrupted.
The Corrupted sounds familiar.
It's from 2013. It's they tag it as Spring Break meets H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, I like that.
And it's Canadian. Very Canadian. Very, oh, very
Canadian. I've seen so many. That movie that I watched with the mullet guy?
Yeah.
So Canadian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is so very Canadian. I mean, yeah, whoa. Crazy Canadian.
There's a scene where the lady's walking around in the woods and she gets attacked by the alien. I wanted to take a picture, but I was afraid people on Twitter were going to say I was calling her out or, like, making fun of a woman for her looks. But she's just wearing these high-waisted acid-washed jeans and a Toronto Maple Leafs sweatshirt. And I was like, she just looks so silly.
How much early 90s Canadian can you take?
I know, right? And that haircut, and I'm just like, also she's playing, you saw the clip, right?
Right. What
she's
are the
teenager.
Okay.
She's in high school in that movie.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Okay.
She has high school age kids, that woman.
When I saw that clip of the three people talking, and one of them was the lady with the boofed up hair.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh wow, is this from 1990? Like,
yeah, it's 1994.
Because it looks like it looks like 89-90 Cincinnati, Ohio.
You know? Yeah.
And I'm like, huh. Because, yeah, right around 92 is like when the grunge stuff hit, all the big hair went away.
And, man.
Yeah.
So good.
But I guess it's...
So good.
I guess in parts of Canada, it takes longer. And I thought Cincinnati was behind. Wow.
It's that hockey Eastern European influence. They stick around for that stuff.
Shark man.
Paul!
Another decent one. It's an old movie. It's called Hundra. Have you seen that one?
Hundra's on my list, yeah.
That turns out to actually be a decent barbarian movie.
Yeah.
Like, and it's got a Morricone score to it, which is kind of nice.
So many Italian... what do you call it? Movies?
Barbarian movies? Sword and Sorcery?
The one that I put a lot of clips for was...
Gunan.
Gunan.
Yeah.
The Barbarian King?
Yeah.
There's no character named Gunan in that movie.
I think something went wrong, because technically he's supposed to be Gunan. I mean, like, he's credited as Gunan.
They do not call him Gunan.
They do not call him Gunan.
They do not call him Gunan at all. His name is Zukon.
Right. Well, he's...
And a plot point of the movie is that he has to prove his worth so that he can have his name, which is Zukon.
Right, because somebody else could have gotten the Zukon name.
Yeah.
That's why I thought maybe Zukon was more of a title and his name was Gunan. Or maybe when they were dubbing it, they changed it to Zukon because they were having problems with people saying Conan instead of Gunan.
Gunan or Conan?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is not Gunan. His name is Zukon in that movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that death scene is amazing. When he kills the bad guy, he just refuses to die.
He just stands there holding his stomach looking at him.
Just looking at him like an idiot.
Like, duh. Now? Now? Yeah. I get a kick out of the old barbarian movies, and a lot of them are terrible, like really just terrible movies. They don't make any sense, and all they are is like, they're like porn without sex, you know? I mean, they have like...
They really are.
They're just built for like, you know, people being muscle-bound and swinging a sword around kind of thing, you know? And, but there are, like I said, there are some that are actually pretty good. which is always surprising, I guess. And that was one of them, though, the Hundra. I actually enjoyed that. And I would go so far as to say is that it's the only actual feminist barbarian movie I recall seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are other things, like, you know, you had strong women in, like, Conan and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And you see strong women warriors in other barbarian movies, but this one actually seems like it's coming from the position of a feminist standpoint.
Yeah, like it's saying something.
Yeah, like, because, I mean, the whole thing starts out, it's a colony of just women that have rejected the men, you know? And some of them are, like, warriors, you know? In the barbarian sense, warriors. And, so, yeah, I don't know. You know, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, so I enjoyed it as well. Well, no, I haven't seen it yet, but I will enjoy it.
I'm sure you'll find it quite delectable.
Delectable?
I don't know. I was looking for something. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. You know. Mm-hmm. Conan. Oh, and I did wind up watching Transformers the last night, just because.
Oh, that movie's ridiculous.
Because it was there, but you know what?
Kind of fun just to watch Anthony Hopkins in that movie.
Yeah.
Because he's silly.
I haven't, this is the only Transformers modern movie I've seen.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of the other ones. I've seen, you know, clips and stuff, obviously, because I don't think you could probably get through life online without having seen clips of it. But I've never actually watched any of the Transformers movies. So this is the first one for me. And it was far more watchable than anybody ever led me to believe a Transformers movie would be.
Yeah, the thing about Transformers movies is they're really just loud and cacophonous, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, this had a plot you could follow, and there was stuff going on, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like just complete random nonsense or anything, you know? And that was sort of like, the impression I got was that Transformers movies were all just like so many moving parts, you never knew what the hell was going on, and you just sat back and watched things change. You know? Yeah. Like, and this wasn't like that. It was actually pretty watchable, I thought. I don't know about the, you know, like, how it ranks as far as other Transformers movies go, or anything.
I mean, they're all, this one was a little more fun because it seemed like it was in on its own stupid joke, you know, before they tend to be a little serious.
Yeah. Well, see, yeah, I don't know if I, because, I mean, how do you really take a Transformers movie? Even the cartoon, I mean, well, I don't know, I kind of cried when Optimus Prime died. I don't know if I cried.
Cried when Optimus Prime died.
Cried might be a little strong. I was sad about it. So yeah, I don't know. But
You cried like a little baby.
Maybe I did. So what?
Cried like a baby. Baby crier. You're a baby crier.
Maybe I did. So what?
A tiny John crier. You're baby crier.
Okay, can we move past this now?
Baby crier.
Oh, and I watched another Corin Nemec movie called Sand Sharks.
You're really into Corin Nemec.
Ah, I get through phases. Yeah.
Would you say he is your new Chris Makepeace?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. There can be only one Chris Makepeace. I mean,
well, good. I'm glad. I'm sure Chris Makepeace is very happy about that. Yeah. That you have not taking his name in vain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I'm just saying. No, you know, I go through, like, cycles of stuff when I'm watching things, when I'm setting up, like, what I'm going to watch while I'm working or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I watched two movies in a row that were both called Backwoods. Because mm-hmm. they were both called Backwoods. That's why I watched them.
Are you doing it on purpose?
Yeah, I mean, I put them together because they were both called Backwoods. Like,
and
one was a straight-up, like, weird. Actually, it. Okay. Let me talk about these for a second, because, you know, they weren't, both of them weren't bad. The first one was a 2008 movie that had, I don't know, there were people that I vaguely recognized, but I'm not sure, like, who they were exactly, or why I recognized them.
Mm-hmm.
Probably from other, like, low-budget movies at the time or something. But it starts, you know, the way it works, it's like a corporate retreat. That's another weird thing. You remember, there were, like, a handful of movies that were all like that, where people go on a corporate retreat out in the woods for, like, a paintball competition or something, mm-hmm. and then it turns into disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was, like, Severance, I think, was the first one I remember seeing back in, like, 06 or something like that.
That's good.
05 or 06. That was the crazy one that wound up with, like, the rocket launcher and the commercial airplane and shit, mm-hmm. where it's just, like, the movie starts out being one thing, and then all of a sudden it just turns into five other things, and you're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the one I remember seeing first and liking the best, but then after that, there was just, like, a over the next couple of years, there was a handful more that I remember seeing, and I get them all mixed up, so I can't remember which one's which now. But the basic premise of all of them was that it was some sort of like, office people, corporate retreat kind of thing, out doing some sort of company, team building thing, and then things would get screwy from there. This Backwoods from 2008. Do you know who Haley Duff is? That name sounds really familiar.
Haley Duff.
Yeah, she looked familiar, but I don't know. Anyway, so, yeah, this is a, it starts out with that same premise of, company retreat, paintball game, team building stuff. They get sent, and then all of a sudden they start getting attacked in that way that you think it's a bunch of, like, cannibal backwoods people or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and I'm going to spoil this a little bit, if you don't care. Do you care?
I guess I don't.
Okay, so what I enjoyed about this, the twist on that, is that it's not actually, backwoods mutant cannibal people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of survivalist nuts that have all kind of taken over an old military base out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not, like, eating the people or anything, but they are keeping the women to breed with them. But, but I thought that was, like, okay, you kind of subverted my expectations here. I thought it was going to be, like, a cannibal thing, and now it's not a cannibal thing. It's just a bunch of nut jobs. So that was kind of cool. Maybe not. That sounded cooler in my head before I started explaining it. But, okay, and then The Other Backwoods was also a 2008 movie, which is weird. But it was also a 2008 movie that had Gary Oldman in it. And it,
Oldman.
Gary Oldman. And it was set in 1978, in Spain. And this guy his grandfather was Spanish or whatever, grandmother. But he grew up in England. He buys his family house, and him and several of his friends go out to the house to spend the weekend while he's go hunting, whatever, hang out. And they find this girl that's like a mutant girl, like where her fingers are all grown together, and she looks sort of animalistic,
Mm-hmm.
And then things go really crazy from there. Well, not really crazy, but things go sour, very sour from there after they find this girl. And I won't spoil that one because this movie's actually halfway decent, worth watching. I think.
Okay.
But that one's, that's also called Backwoods. It's from 2008, but it's got Gary Oldman in it. But anyway, so like I was saying, though, I tend to watch things in groups of stuff, like various listings for some reason. Either thematically or like titles or something, sometimes I'll just sit there and watch a bunch of rom-coms in a row or something. Like, just crap like that, Wow. I talked a lot about, this entire like show almost has been about bad movies.
They have been a lot lately.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we do that a lot. It's entertainment for us now, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. And we've been talking for over an hour about this stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of that was San Diego.
It couldn't have been a lot. Huh?
Not much, probably. So, in summary, did you have fun in San Diego?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I needed to be working.
Right.
And now I am.
And now you are.
Now I'm getting back on track.
And now we dance.
I have issues to kill so that I can get my priorities for the next year on track.
Sounds like a plan.
Trying to be. You're part of those plans.
I got plans too, buddy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, part of my plans involve losing weight by December so I can get my doctor off my back. But,
You're doing that so that you live longer, right? Not to get your doctor off your back.
Whatever. We all have different priorities.
Mm-hmm.
No, well, it's not so much that I live longer. I mean, I can reasonably expect probably in this day and age to live at least into my 80s, barring accidents and, other bad things.
You smoke cigarettes. There's no way.
A lot of people still live into their 80s and smoke cigarettes, dude. Not everybody dies from smoking
realistic.
Cigarettes.
It's an unrealistic thing to think that.
I mean, not everybody dies from smoking cigarettes.
A lot of them do.
Yes, a lot of them do, which makes it a good reason why you should probably encourage people not to start or to quit. But I'm saying that, there's a decent chance that I'm still going to live in my 80s.
Mm.
But the point...
I don't have anything to do with it.
Probably. I'll see you dead before I am.
All right, it's on.
Wait. That's not probably wasn't a really nice thing to say. So,
Yeah, it's about time. As we're we've you've you have made an enemy.
frenemy?
Nope, we're all at war. This podcast is now like spy versus spy. This is gonna be like you and me telling each other our plans, how we're gonna murder each other.
So I'm just replacing Sean?
Yeah, that's right.
Or
Sean, I don't know. Sean might be playing it coy now because he seems to have given up on the murdering us all.
well, he's got new priorities in life now.
Yeah, he's married, man, you know. But
Yeah.
I think that might just be lulling us into a false sense of security.
You mean like the whole wedding was just a ruse?
Yes. Well, you know what? I mean, he had this whole plan of getting us to Mars. I mean, that's a long con right there.
It's a pretty long con. You think he's making friends with like Elon Musk and stuff?
I think maybe Rose has some kind of contacts that we don't know about, and that's what we're watching him getting closer to those guys
Huh.
through Rose.
All of the That's an awful lot of work just to kill you guys.
Oh, he really, I mean, that's,
Or
you
is
know,
he adding to the list?
something bad enough, you go for it, dude. That's how things happen.
I mean, I hate to put a quantity value on murder, but still, I mean, if you're going to murder people, you might as well murder a bunch of them. Not just
No,
a.
it's not quantity, it's quality. Quality of murder.
Oh, well, I guess.
Yeah.
Huh.
You should know that.
Yeah, I mean.
You of all people should know about quality of murder.
Wait, why?
I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to say that.
That's it. Curtains for you. I mean, what? I lost my train of thought. Sorry, I'm still thinking about Sean's plot. So, plans. We were talking about plans. Plans. I don't remember.
I have lots of publishing plans.
All right. I'm gonna write something this year.
Are you?
I think so.
You want to write some battle pug?
I could write some battle pug. I could write battle backups, backup pugs.
That's what I'm talking about.
I could write some backup pugs.
I'm doing some backups.
I feel it's time.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that though, I'm almost done with making comics. I'm almost done with making.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm almost done reading Making Comics by Scott McCloud, to further clarify.
Also, you're almost done making comics. I'm almost done making comics.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think I'll ever be done making comics. Comics might be done with making me,
Yeah.
but,
Hear you.
so,
Don't drink that, y'all.
and, I like this book, because it's sort of a, I think I touched on this before, where it's not so much a how-to, it's kind of a why-to book, and it gets sort of philosophical in spots, and it's less of like draw this line to make this image. It's more of a, hey, there's a variety of things you can do to reach your goal. Here's like an example. Use this facial expression. Try this, that, and the other thing. But not like a sit down and it's not an instruction manual. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which can be frustrating. I saw some of the reviews on Amazon, and that can be frustrating for people because a lot of people buy stuff because they want instruction. They don't want necessarily guidance or just ideas or inspiration. They want instruction. And I understand that because have you ever had that conversation with a person where you're talking to them about their problems and they're not looking for solutions, they just want support, like moral support or something, And then you give them a solution because you're thinking in problem-solving mode and the conversation just goes really badly from there. That's what I'm saying is like a lot of people like, they either want instruction or they don't want instruction, And so if you're looking for instruction, this book I don't think really is the book for you. Although he's got a great bibliography in it that does tell you how to look for other things that could help you improve like your reading if nothing else, just different artists and different like even there's even books on like how to do things in his bibliography too. So yeah, I'm almost done with that. And it's like I said, I think it's a really interesting book. And as part of this series, the understanding, reinventing, and then this one's making. This one's got a lot less speculation in it. Like whereas reinventing comics was really focused on the technology and of the time and things like that. So this one's not nearly as dated feeling, except in the references, I guess, because there's a lot more people since he wrote this that are, you know, have made marks in comics since then. So this is still sort of a snapshot of a time period, like 2005, 2006, or whatever. But it's not nearly as strong of a sense of that as it was in Reinventing Comics. But as a part of the series, like, you know, and you can get them cheap on Amazon, so I totally recommend reading all three of them if you haven't before. So far, because there's nothing in them I found that, like I said, there were points where I just had sort of, I guess, philosophical disagreements with what he was saying. But overall, like nothing in these would tell me to say, oh, don't read that, you know, it's not worth it or something. There's a lot of information there that's really useful, even in context of just being a reference point for a mode of thought, you know. So yeah, pretty cool stuff. I kind of wish I would have read them, you know, really long time ago. Because, like, I remember, especially when, I guess when Reinventing Comics came out, like, people were still talking about it when we all first wound up in Chicago. Because it was fairly new then, still. And they were talking about things like, because I remember people going on about, like, long tail payment systems and stuff like that, you know, back before.
Well, yeah, nobody had any of that figured out yet.
Right, I mean, because, I mean,
PayPal was barely a thing then.
I think PayPal might have been around, but it wasn't really like a,
No.
it wasn't really like a thing yet. Like, I don't even think like it was necessary to have PayPal for eBay back then. And even with PayPal, they were still taking so much of a chunk per transaction that micropayments weren't going to work. Which was what he was pushing for at the time, was a system of being able to accept like pennies, even, you know,
Yeah,
if you wanted to.
transaction. He was a big microtransaction guy.
And I don't.
Everybody was like, how's that gonna work?
Well, and it never. I don't think it ever really did as envisioned at the time. You've got stuff now, like, you know, I think the patronage model kind of took the place of the micropayment idea. And then in the patronage model, you can do small payments, but you still got to consider that every, you know, every transaction, if you're going through any kind of major financial institution, is going to cost you money per transaction as well as whatever the percentage is. And I don't think that's changed really. I don't know. Unless you can group your payments, your micro payments, into enough of a payment to cover the transaction fees, you know what I'm saying? Like, but yeah, so anyway, but you know, that's the kind of stuff that when I say the book's dated in spots, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Because, or like, even in Making Comics, he's talking about, there's a section there about tools, and you know, he's talking about a tablet monitor, one of which is called a Cintiq. And he's like, but that's still really expensive right now. It's like $2,600, you know? And I'm like, well, that really hasn't changed much, has it? You know? He's like, yeah, that could cost more than your entire computer setup. And I'm like, well, that still hasn't really changed much. Although I guess 20, is 2,600 in mid-2000s more or less than 2,600 now?
I don't know.
How's that? Have we inflated much? I don't know. So theoretically, if a company keeps something at the same price for 10 years, it's actually a better value 10 years later then, right?
Yes.
I mean, because you're not only getting better technology, but you're getting it at the same price, which is actually a lesser price because of inflation. I think that's just some economic mumbo jumbo to justify shit, but because inflation doesn't really make a whole hell of a lot of sense, because we're not really dealing with perishable resources anymore, are we? As far as money goes,
Oh, it's all adjusted to make.
I mean, it's just all about making rich people more money, right? I mean,
I don't know.
or seemingly more money. Although inflation seems like it would hurt them too, because their more money would be worth less. So you would think really rich people would be against inflation. They'd want deflation so that their money was worth more. How does that work? I'm not a finance guy. I really don't know. In fact, I find the concept of money to be overly confusing, and I think we should all go back to barter so I can run Barter Town.
You think that you would end up running Bartertown?
No, I'd be Mad Max out in the desert.
You'd be somebody. You wouldn't even be Mad Max out in the desert. You'd be that crazy dude with the glider thing.
Okay, I'll be the captain, sure.
Yeah, you're definitely that guy.
You're the feral boy.
Running around in his underwear.
Yeah, probably. But, you know. Anyway. Point is that I find money to be kind of a silly concept, personally. Although it does make transactions easier than barter, because with barter I have to find somebody that wants my chickens. You know?
Nobody wants your chickens.
And then not only that, but I have to find somebody that wants my chickens that can give me something that I can trade for the thing I want. Or give me something that I can trade for the thing that I can trade for the thing that I want. So yeah, money does simplify transactions a lot. I get that.
Nobody wants your transactions.
There's been a lot of talk lately about universal basic income.
Yeah, I don't know how that possibly could work.
I don't know. I mean, when I've seen it approached in the past, and has always been in sci-fi stories, and they always treated it like a bad thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is weird, kind of, because
it's not very. That's not a very utopian outlook, the way that most sci-fi usually is.
Yeah, you would think that actually probably sci-fi would be like, oh, yeah, universal basic income. Everybody gets a chance. That's egalitarian. We'll go
it's
for
not,
that.
That's not Star Trek-y.
But it, yeah, and you know, the subject's been I've seen a lot of articles on it pop up recently. And it's gotten a resurgence in speculation on the idea, I guess. Yeah. And I'm just thinking at it from a practical standpoint, like $1,000 a month is a basic, because you know, a lot of the articles seem to suggest that that would be the appropriate number, I guess, for the U.S. anyway, and that just everybody who's a citizen of the U.S. would automatically get $1,000 a month to live on. That you know, I mean, that doesn't say that you can't get a job or anything. It doesn't. It's not affected like how Medicare or unemployment or whatever. If you get work, you lose the benefit.
You still get it if you work.
Right. Universal basic income. The whole point of that is that's as a citizen of this country, that's what you get to live on. You know, no matter what. Period. No matter what.
I would like some extra money, sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, $1,000 would cover probably my mortgage and all my regular bills every month, you know? So anything I would make on top of that would be, like, beyond my living expenses, you know what I'm saying? Like, it would be extra money on top of that kind of thing. Because I could live off $1,000 a month if I had to. I probably wouldn't be, you know, too comfortable. Speaking of that, living off stuff, since I've really cut my eating, man, my food lasts forever now. I haven't been to the grocery store and like to go, you know, my actual shopping trip or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like in a week and a half, 2 weeks over my normal time period for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've still got like plenty of food in the house, like in the freezer and canned goods and stuff like that. I'm like, huh, well, this whole eating less thing's already paying dividends for me. But yeah, anyway, sorry, going back to the universal basic income, I mean, it's sort of a neat idea because it gives everybody a basically everybody's starting from the same place, and yeah, you could say everybody's starting from the same place if they start at zero, but the point of the universal basic income is that nobody should have to start at zero.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And because I mean, not, I mean, I guess you could say nobody really starts at zero because everybody's got parents or support or something, you know. But this just gives everybody the ability to at least cover their bills and eat every month, kind of thing. If they, you know, are managing their money reasonably or whatever. And from what I've read about it, they don't, like, account for universal basic income is like a flat money thing. So, like, $1,000 to me means a lot more than $1,000 to somebody living in Chicago, you know? Kind of thing. As far as how far it goes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even at that, like somebody living out in some weird, lonely part of Alaska, like their $1,000 probably means a whole hell of a lot more than it even does to me, you know, kind of as far as how far it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Although, no, that's probably wrong because they have to get stuff shipped in, so I imagine stuff's actually more expensive. But you know what I'm saying. You get the idea of the point I'm trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an interesting concept, but I just, like I said, anytime I've seen it handled in the past has always been in science fiction. And for some reason, when I've seen it handled in science fiction, most recently in... what was it? The Expanse, I think, maybe?
Not really. It's a recent science fiction.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I've seen it in, like, 2000 science fiction, and I think I recall a story in the 90s that dealt with it, too. The idea of universal basic income has been around for a pretty decently long time. It just kind of goes in and out of favor as a talking point. But and it gets refined, you know, each time it gets brought back around. But it... So, but yeah, like I said, every time I've seen it, like, I think most recently, was it, I think it was in The Expanse, or was it another sci-fi story? But it was, basically, essentially, they were just talking about how the universal basic income kind of crushed everybody's will to try to do anything else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, since they didn't have to do anything, nobody, the people who wanted to live off basic income just didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they're, the problem is, I see that as an overly negative view of people, you know? 'Cause like,
Well, yeah.
I don't, I mean, you know, even poor people still hustle. They still do things. They do other stuff, you know? It's like, I don't see just giving people a means to, you know, make their rent and buy their food every month, how that would discourage them from doing other things.
Well, you'd be surprised.
I mean, it might, I could see from my corporate standpoint where it would be discouraging because they might not have to take that fucking crappy job you ain't paying enough for, you know?
Well, I mean, the problem with ideals is that people disappoint you constantly.
Well, they only disappoint you if you have expectations of them.
Well, that's what this is. You expect you the expectation is that people are going to be better.
Well, no, the expectation is that whatever they do, that's their choice, but that, you know, the universal basic income provides them a good starting point to do what they want, as opposed to what they have to do, you know? And if what they want is doing nothing, then that's the way that shakes down. But I, you know, what I'm saying
That
is
is not why people are, that's not why universal income is getting floated around, just to have people do what they want.
in a sense, yeah, it is. It's to free them from having to do things that they don't want to do just to survive. Which is more or less by what I mean by when I say do what they want. Because, you know, I mean, like I said, if you don't have to work that crappy minimum wage McDonald's job, that's going to hurt McDonald's more than it's going to hurt anybody. Because they're either going to have to start paying more to get people, or giving benefits, or something, you know? Like. So, I mean, I could see why companies and businesses don't like the idea of universal basic income. But from a sense of people just having the opportunity to make new things, though, I think it's a kind of a hopeful thing. I mean, you know, if you've got the opportunity to devote your energies to creating something, whatever, even if it's not useful, if it's just something, you know, something new, something different, something maybe beautiful, I don't know, you know, then. Sure, you know, that's great because there's a lot of people that don't get to do, actually contribute anything useful to society because they're forced into working shitty jobs to just make a living, and that sucks out their soul.
I'm gonna suck out your soul. How about that?
Well, okay. I'm sorry, I don't know. I don't know. Again, there are way smarter people talking about this than I am, so you're probably better off looking up articles on it and reading that because I'm just talking from a standpoint of I think it's interesting. And I don't know that I completely 100% agree with it. I think it would be useful to me.
That extra monies, that's what you want.
Well, yeah, definitely. I think it would be totally useful for me because I'd have to, A, there would be less stress on me having to figure out, you know, what my schedule's looking like over the next year and like, oh shit, I got a big dead spot here. I need to drum up some work, you know, kind of thing. And for a lot of freelancers or self-employed people, I mean, that would relieve so much stress on them because they know they would at least have this much money every month. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about just people, you know, collecting the money and doing shit and sitting around on the couch watching TV. I'm talking about a lot of people that actually would continue to work and are continuing to work. It would just make things easier for them. Like, I don't know. So yeah, it is. I think it's an interesting concept. Sorry, don't mean to talk about it so much. Especially when you don't care.
Well, I care.
Well, you'd like that money too.
I'd like it. I want all the money. Give me everything. Give me all the money. Give me all your money.
Oh, yeah. I saw a thing on Amazon. Like, okay, besides having the, you know, all the low budget movies, like the stuff you watch, there's a ton of shorts and stuff now.
Yeah, I got tricked into that.
Things that are like a minute long, things that are 7 minutes long, things that are like 15 minutes long, whatever, you know, but there's like tons of shorts on there now. And I saw one on there the other day that's called Little Donnie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it's about a Trump bobblehead type doll that comes to life and starts killing people.
Oh, interesting.
But it's only like 7 minutes long. I didn't bother watching it because I really didn't care. I just thought it was funny because I looked at the title and I'm like, what? Little Donnie? Yeah. But. So, I mean, literally, this is a little Donnie, you know.
Who stole my idea? That wasn't really that good an idea to begin with.
Oh, hush.
Who took it from me? I am the ghost of bitterness.
On a practical standpoint, since, you know, ostensibly we are a comic book show, on a practical piece of a comic book advice is that ideas are well, yeah, they're cool, but they're worthless.
Ideas are worthless.
They are, man. There's so many people that have so many ideas that just having an idea doesn't mean shit. It's your execution of the idea.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true.
Even if two people have the same idea, they're not going to necessarily do it the same way, you know? Like, it's your execution. Just, you know, if you think of yourself...
Do my idea, do it. Do my idea.
Right. If you think of yourself as just somebody with an idea, then you're not really doing it, right? You know?
Yeah.
Like, because I, you know, we've heard that before. It shows, well, I got an idea for a thing. Well, that's cool. You got an idea for a thing, you know? Like, well, do it. Like, why you tell me about the idea? I don't care about the idea. Just go do it.
Give me your idea.
And that's not to say you shouldn't talk about your ideas with, like, say, potential collaborators or friends or whatever. I'm just saying, don't be that person that, you know, says somebody stole my idea when they never did anything with it, you know, kind of thing. Or whatever. Is that too preachy? Was I being preachy?
No.
Okay. Do we have any email?
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, boo. I missed an auction while I was talking to you.
I might not be able to log into it from here.
Okay.
You might have to do it.
I should probably remember what all that password stuff is, isn't it? Because I don't...
Oh, here we go.
I don't remember what the password is.
Dick Grayson writes, fuck Batman, yours Dick.
I forgot about that already.
it's...
That's a Titans trailer, right?
Yes. The email is from Dick Grayson, who should be Tim Drake, but acts like Jason Todd at Outlook.com.
Wow.
Wow.
Somebody went to, like, lengths.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks. Dick Grayson.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck Batman.
It's such a crazy trailer. That was the last thing I was expecting.
Was to watch him cursing and all that.
Well, no, not that, but it's like the audible crunches as he steps on people's necks.
Oh, I haven't actually seen the trailer.
Yeah, he's just crushing people's faces with his feet.
Well, that's not nice.
Oh, Robin.
I mean, all things considered, I think that is... I agree that that's sort of an odd approach to it, considering the way the property's been handled for the past, like, decade and a half. And it's just seemed another step in their line of, like, kind of mismanaging it by trying to just make it super dark for no reason. But whatever. Hey, I don't care. It's not like I read Teen Titans stuff or have, like, any vested interest in it right at the moment. Although I've liked Cyborg since I was a kid. But he wasn't even in the trailer, was he?
No, he's not in the show.
Oh, well, fuck that. Well, fuck Batman, then. What do I care? Or fuck Titans. Hey, have you been watching the Cloak and Dagger?
No, I haven't watched it. I embarrassingly told my cousin at San Diego. She works on the show.
Oh. I remember liking the preview stuff they showed, like, last year or whatever.
Yeah, is it good?
I don't know. I mean, I that's what I was going to ask you. I didn't, because I haven't seen it yet. I think it's a Netflix thing, right?
It is.
Or Hulu. It's Hulu, isn't it?
It is not. It is neither of those. It is Freeform.
What is Freeform? It's
the former ABC family.
Oh, so it's on broadcast, like cable, then?
If you get ABC Family on broadcast, okay. I think, on cable channel.
For some reason, I was thinking it was one of the subscription services. Well, I guess it is a subscription service, but you know what I mean, like one of the digital services. Mm. No, but I haven't seen it yet. I do want to check it out. Those were, again, characters that were favorites of mine in my childhood. All because of that miniseries, and I picked it up at a young and impressionable age.
Yeah. It was very interesting, the process they went through to pick them, it seems like, she was saying.
Huh.
She said that they had, like, this big, long list of characters that they wanted, and Runaways was one of them, but they wouldn't let them do Runaways.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe Marvel has plans for them.
Well, they're on Hulu.
Runaways?
Yeah.
Oh. No, that's right. Sorry. I blanked out. I forgot there was a Runaway show. That's why I was thinking Hulu, I guess. Huh. Anyway, sorry. Email.
That was it.
Oh, well, thanks for writing. Yeah. It was good times. Fuck Batman.
Fuck Batman. Fuck that fucker.
Yeah, just fuck him. Fuck Batman.
Fuck Batman.
Yep.
Fuck you, Batman. I'm really tired of your shit.
Now, is his last name Batman? It's John Batman?
He says, fuck John Batman.
Yep. So, well, groovy.
Fuck Batman.
I guess that's it for this week. Although, do we have anything in stores? I don't know. I forgot to look. I'm sorry. I'm a little scattered this week. I kind of got a lot on my plate. And I'm trying to figure stuff out. Oh, come on, comic list, come up. Sorry, I'm just looking real quick, see if we got anything, because I don't know if there's anything in stores. Talk about something.
I don't give a shit about anything. I really don't. I just want to finish pages. I have one panel left on this page.
Well, that's a heck of a thing.
I have to finish so many comics.
When does your Hellboy come out? When's it?
Oh, I don't know. Soon. Like, well, in 2 months.
Is that one in stores? Okay.
No, it's not in stores. Times.
No, I mean 2 months. Is it in stores?
It was. They just announced a solicit, so it might. It might be October, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not so far off.
Yeah.
Let's see. Tim's got a Hellblazer 24 in stores. And I'm scrolling. Jenny Frizen's got a cover for Wonder Woman 51 in stores. And,
We have Grave Danger in Comixology right now.
Oh, right, yeah. Grave Danger, you can go to Comixology. It's on part of Amazon.
We have Prime or Comixology Unlimited, and it's free for you.
Yes, what he said.
Just read it and leave a review.
Yeah, because Amazon's pretty heavy review-based. I forgot, I didn't even think about it, actually, that aspect of it. Instead of getting random reviews, like seeing them through Twitter or something like that, you'll actually have a page where you can look at reviews, or probably not look at reviews is a better thing. I've got a Barbarella number 8 from Dynamite in stores this week. I lettered that. And it's got several different covers from people I recognize, some of whom I recognize. It's kind of cool. IADW, Image. Oh, Hackslash Resurrection number 9 is in stores today. I lettered that. Yay. And, wow. Savage Dragon's up to 236. That has nothing to do with us whatsoever, but I still think that's an impressive thing. I suspect he's probably going to keep publishing that until he keels over. Morville
Redenbacher?
Morville Redenbacher. Yes. Morville. It seems like Marvel has quite a bit of stuff in stores this week.
Looking at this Jenny Frizen Nightcrawler cover, and Nightcrawler looks an awful lot like Steve Seeley now.
Well, you know. Oh, Oni Press. I've got a Rick and Morty number 40 that I lettered in stores.
Rick and Morty number 40?
Oh, man. They should have done something for that. Rick and Morty number 40. Rick and Morty number 40.
No, they shouldn't.
Yeah, Rick and Morty number 40.
You need to stop it, actually.
Rick and Morty number 40. Uh-huh. Fuck Batman.
Jesus, Batman. Fuck you. Come on.
It's all his fault.
It really is all his fault. Everything is his fault.
I mean, there weren't like crazy supervillains in Gotham before Batman. He brought them.
Into Gotham.
He brought them there. Anyway, okay, so that's I guess that's it for the new stuff in stores this week thing. And so, okay, I guess we're done. You can reach us at Crankcast.com, Crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is IHateMike.com. You can still read Battlepug at Battlepug.com. you can go check out Grave Danger at Comixology on Amazon. I don't know what else. Did I lose you? Nope, I heard a plug somewhere. Okay, so that's it for this week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay.
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 Okay.